Wars of Doctor Who. Star Wars of Doctor Who. Star Wars of Doctor Who.
His name is Rob.
His name is Rob.
He knows his Wookiees from his Daleks. Listen now.
Listen now.
Hear the Force challenge the TARDIS. Get your blue milk and jelly babies while we see which drives you crazy. Star Wars or Doctor Who.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Who Wars episode number 9. Now, if you listened to Who Wars episode 8 on Sunday, you would have heard me tell the story about sitting down with one of my favourite comic book artists, Eric J, on the weekend. We sat down, we started chatting on Skype. I thought it would be about a 1 hour conversation and I could preview it in the Sunday show and then pop out the full interview this week as a special. Well, that sounded like a fine plan until it turned out that Eric J and I got chatting and we chatted and chatted and chatted, and 3 hours later we were still chatting. So rather than put together a 3 hour long podcast, I thought I'll break it up into some parts that sort of make sense. So I've taken a section where we spoke about Star Wars, and that's what I'm going to be playing here today. You got a preview of that in Sunday's show. And I'm taking a section where we spoke about Doctor Who, and I'll be playing that on Thursday night. Obviously, Star Wars and Doctor Who are the two big themes of Who Wars. And then a very long section where we talk about the comic industry and learning to draw and all sorts of good general geeky comic stuff, I'm going to play in a special next Wednesday. Hopefully the way I've broken up the interview makes sense, and that's why when this interview starts now, we start halfway through and there's no sort of introduction. We just go straight into it, myself and Eric talking about Star Wars. I hope you find it interesting. I'd love to hear your feedback. I'm sure Eric would love to hear your feedback as well. So please get in touch and let me know what you think. Without any further ado, here's me speaking with Eric J this past Sunday about Star Wars. All right, well, let's kick off with some Star Wars then. Let's be different. How did you feel, or how do you feel, I should say, about a new set of movies being made at the moment?
I am ambivalent to cautiously optimistic.
And what gives you the optimism? Is it J.J. Abrams? Is it the fact they're using real sets? Is it something else?
Well, the...
Or is it they've got rid of George Lucas?
I hate to say it, but that's a little bit of it.
Yeah.
You know? And I do hate to say that, but... You know, it's I don't think, you know, I don't think George's heart was in it, you know, for the last set. You know what I mean? And maybe sort of lost the plot a little, mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah, I think that's a little bit of it. And well, I think you get... Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, he's certainly not the same man he was when he made Star Wars. It was a long time between drinks. And I think that certainly colored the way he made those films.
Absolutely. But I mean, like, there, you know, there's the other part to it, though, is the, you know, all the reissues and constantly tweaking and tinkering, you know, with the old movies and, you know, whatnot. And I mean, like, as a creator, I get it. But having said that, it's interesting. It's funny. Okay, so we'll go back to music ideas. I remember, you know, I was in a band for several years in the, you know, in my 20s, right before my comic career came off, you know, my band was my deal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we're a punk rock band, and I remember a couple years after we broke up, I was talking with one of my friend Brian, who was the guitar player in the band. And I was telling him about, you know, I was kind of saying, like, you know, I kind of want to go back and redo some of the songs. And he was like, screw that, man. The songs are the songs. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like, if you had a different idea, like, let's do new songs. You know what I mean? But let's not screw with the old songs. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And there was a wisdom to that, you know? It's like, no,
yeah.
This is who we were. You know,
it's a point in time that's being captured on tape.
Or... Exactly. And so this idea of going back and tinkering with things and, you know, it's like, no, you know, it's go back to comics real quick. You know, it's like Marvel's got, you know, rehashes of how many different old storylines coming out in the next year.
Mm.
And it's like, no, just make something new. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not denigrating what they're doing. I have no idea. It hasn't come out yet. You know what I mean? It might be amazing. You know what I mean? But just from the fundamental standpoint of, you know, make something new. And that ties right back again to the quote unquote ambivalent / cautiously optimistic thing about the new Star Wars films. The thing about the first three, you know what I mean? It's like you didn't go to, there was no Tatooine in Empire Strikes Back. There was no Tatooine in, Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi was mostly on Endor. Empire Strikes Back was on, you know, Bespin, Dagobah, and the Ice Planet. I can't remember what the Ice Planet was called now. You know, yeah.
But I guess a little bit of Tatooine at the start of Jedi. They had to go and see Jabba, but not much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you're right. You are right. That's true.
You'd purge Jabba from your memory. It's because they redid the Sarlacc pit.
How on earth did I purge Slave Leia out of my memory? I don't know.
That is a worry.
I'm not being a good fanboy. okay, so there was one brief return to Tatooine, but, you know, the thing, you know, each episode of the first three, you know, had major set pieces.
Yes.
You know, in a new and different place, and each was distinct.
Absolutely.
You know, you had the desert planet, you had the swamp planet, you had the cloud city, you know, you had the ice planet, you had the forest planet, which, by the way, I will never forgive George Lucas from changing from Kashyyyk and introducing the Ewoks. That's, you know, everybody's got their thing that they won't forgive George Lucas for, and that's mine.
Yeah, a bunch of Wookiees going nuts would have been awesome.
How cool would that have been? Oh my God.
And made a lot more sense.
Yeah, and not only that, but they still would have reminded us, you know, the like the little kiddies of their teddies. You know what I mean?
Which yeah.
Anyway. And they still didn't have to write any dialogue for them. Yeah, exactly. Instead of Jub-Jub.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, with changing the movies, it's a fine line, though, isn't it? Like, there are some changes which make sense. I think of... in Empire, the snow speeders, because they were filming them against not the blackness of space, but I guess a blue atmosphere, they couldn't do a fully solid cockpit. And in the original, the cockpit is slightly transparent when they're flying along. You don't notice it unless you really look. But I know when they went and tweaked the movies, for example, they made that cockpit solid, so it looked more realistic. And to me, I think... Well, that's okay. It doesn't change my experience any. It brings the picture quality up a bit, you know. But then where do you draw the line after that? Can you tweak something else and it's still okay? And I think that's the trap you maybe fell into. Some of the tweaks I think are fine. But when you go and totally redo other things and have hands stepping on Jabba's tail and...
yeah.
No.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the... If you want to go in and solidify some of the special effects, I really don't have a problem with that. I mean, he did go a little crazy in the Mos Eisley scenes, adding new creatures in and whatnot, you know. Mm. But like little things that like what you're talking. I mean, like they went back and remastered, you know, the original Star Trek episodes, you know, to do similar things. You know what I mean? But they didn't change the story. You know what I mean? They just updated some of the effects, you know what I mean? And if they'd stuck to that in the original, you know, the original series, then for Star Wars, I don't think anybody really would have had a problem. And you know, honestly, a lot of the things that he, like the Jabba scene wasn't there because they didn't have the ability to film it back in the 70s the way that he wanted to. And it's one of those things, it's like, well, I don't really care why it was cut out of the movie. It was cut out of the movie. You know what I mean? It's therefore it's not a part of it. You know what I mean? Like you can add it in as a director's extra, you know what I mean? Or something like that, like a deleted scene. We all enjoy watching deleted scenes, you know?
Yeah.
But it changes the flow of the narrative. It, you know, it's unnecessary. You know what I mean? And I think that's actually the biggest part of it. It is unnecessary. There's no reason for it to be there. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really add anything to the film, you know, it's just, hey, I had this scene that I couldn't do back in the day. I'm going to do it now, you know? And it's that kind of, you know, carelessness, I guess, you know, my words are failing me, but you know, it's that kind of thing, you know what I mean? Where it's like, I'm going to do it just 'cause I can, and I'm the creator, you know, it's like, there's no point. And so why?
Yeah.
But again, getting back to the new ones, they're so much of what they're doing with the new ones, you know what I mean, is sort of fanboy wanking, sounds like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we're going back to Tatooine. There's going to be a scene in Dagobah. You know what I mean? It's like, no, dude, it's a vast universe. Create new stuff. If you want to get back to the feel of the originals, then get back to the feel of the originals, not, you know, just doing what the originals were is not getting back to the feel of the originals. That's getting back. That's just rehashing. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And that's not, the prequels weren't bad because they didn't rehash the originals, you know?
Yeah, they were bad for other reasons.
Because they were just bad.
That's right.
And I mean, like, you know, again, it's going to creep in and I apologize, but you know, again, getting back to J.J. Abrams, like, the stuff that he's done with Star Trek, just, I'm not a fan, you know? And that worries me regarding Star Wars. Now, having said that, part of the reason I'm not a fan of what he did with Star Trek is because he Star Warsified quite a bit of Star Trek. I mean, down to, if you watch Into Darkness, they, you know, they're running around on Earth at fleet headquarters in Imperial uniforms. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous, you know. But so, I mean, from that standpoint, you know, he's said in interviews that he's a huge fan of Star Wars, not at all a fan of Star Trek, you know.
That's right. In fact, if I can name drop, I've sat within a few feet of him having an interview back in my Paramount days, and he was saying precisely that to some very big Trekkies, and they were a bit horrified.
Yeah, and lo and behold, his lack of enthusiasm for Star Trek shines through brightly, you know?
Yeah.
Do
you try and stay up on the rumors and news from Episode 7, or do you try to be a bit spoiler-free? It sounds like you might have heard a few things already by just...
Yeah, I don't think it's possible to be spoiler-free in this day and age, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've heard a few things here and there. I do tend to... I try not to be slavish about it, you know what I mean? Like, my involvement with spoilers and rumors, it, you know, kind of comes down to... Someone posted something on Facebook and there, and I clicked the link because I was in the mood, you know, that day. But for the most part, I try not to follow it, because here's the thing. You can get caught up in the run up, you know what I mean? And I mean, like for instance, you know, how many times have you seen a trailer for a movie and you've gone, oh my God, I can't wait to see this movie. And then you go see the movie based on this amazing trailer and it sucks.
Yeah, a lot of times.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, I'm glad that they're doing practical effects. I think that's amazing. I don't like sort of the deification of practical effects, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There isn't anything wrong with CGI. There are some things that are better served with practical effects, and there are some things that are better served with CGI. It's just, you know,
I think George Lucas took it so far to one side on the prequels, it swung back in a much bigger way now to practical effects than it possibly should have. You know, if he hadn't have maybe taken it as far, it wouldn't have swung back as far, if you get what I mean.
Oh, I absolutely get you. I think it's reactionary, and I think it's knee-jerk, and I think it's not the way it should be.
Mm.
You know, like I said, you need to use it, you know, it's a oft repeated phrase, you know, use the best tool for the job. If something's better practical, then do it that way. You know what I mean? If it's impractical to do it practically, then go ahead and use CGI. There's nothing wrong with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I think it's a little bit of fan service. You know what I mean? That they're making such a big deal out of the practical effects. You know what I mean? It's going to the, to, you know, J.J. Abrams was nothing if not a great salesman.
Oh, yes.
You know, and that's, and that, and it's, it, you know, it's from the secrecy that normally surrounds his productions, you know, and the little bits leaked here and there, just tantalizing bits to keep you, you know, to keep you stoked about it, you know, but this is, that to me seems like, you know, more J.J. Abrams, Barnum and Bailey act, you know, or J.J. Barnum or Bailey, whatever the hell, you know, I think he's a savvy enough filmmaker, you know what I mean? That he's doing exactly what I said, you know, he's using practical effects where it's practical and using CGI where they need to, you know what I mean? But he's making a big deal out of the practical effects because he knows it's going to make average Star Wars fanboy salivate.
Mm. You know? Well, maybe he thinks he needs to, you know, because one of the criticisms, even non-film people and people who aren't even interested in the film process were making of the prequels is that, oh, it all looks so, you know, blue screen or green screen or whatever it might be. Maybe he feels he's got to be out there saying it's not going to be like the prequels without actually saying it's not going to be like the prequels.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's a distinct possibility, and that's fine too. You know what I mean? Like I look at this point, I think in a lot of Star Wars fans' minds. Well, first of all, I think most Star Wars fans are going new movies, yay. You know what I mean? Like I don't think they need to be sold. You know what I mean? But at the same time, even as I said that, like there is such a bad taste left in everybody's mouth from the first or from the prequels, you know, that there does need to be a little bit of hand holding, you know, to reassure people that, you know, they're not going to be that.
Yeah.
So that's and that's all fine and good. It's just, you know, ultimately it's going to come down to what ends up on screen and is the story good and blah blah blah, and just to be, you know, perfectly frank, my last few J.J. Abrams tastes haven't tasted so good.
All right,
you know, I mean, it's just like, yeah, look, I'm coming off of what, like a year removed from, or a little over a year removed from Into Darkness, which is maybe the worst Star Trek movie that's ever been made. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, and it's not because of anything other than the fact that the story is just crap. And that scares me. So that's why I say I'm cautiously optimistic. He's a huge fan. He does have it in him to make a, not just a good film, but a very good film. It's just, can he pull it off? You know, is his fanboy going to overtake his filmmaker? That's the question, and we'll find out. You know, I mean, ultimately, you and I talking about it like this is just immensely fun. You know what I mean? But it's ultimately, you know, Sound and Fury, you know, having to do with nothing, you know.
Exactly.
Because we don't know what's actually going to come out, you know what I mean? We might be here, you know, in 2 years going, oh my god, can you believe how amazing that was, and we had no idea it was going to be that amazing.
Well, fingers crossed.
Right, definitely.
Well, let's move on from Episode 7. Star Wars Rebels has started too. You mentioned you've been watching some Clone Wars recently, but have you seen any of Star Wars Rebels yet?
I'm about to disappoint you horribly in terms of like current TV watching.
That's okay.
No, I have not yet gotten to see Rebels. Is it any good? Have you been watching it?
It's very good. You know, something I've said on the podcast a few times is when I started with Clone Wars, like season one, season two, it just didn't grab me. It just didn't hook me. I felt it was a bit too kiddy. We had this Ahsoka character running around calling Anakin Sky Guy, and I was like, oh my god, what is this? You know,
right.
And apparently it got much better, and you know, the Netflix stuff you've been watching, the lost episodes from season six or whatever it is, apparently they're fantastic.
Yes, they're very good.
And loads of fun. And so they obviously, you know, got into their stride and started making really good stuff. But I'd switched off by that point. So I'm going back this December when I'm on holidays. And I'm going to watch the whole thing start to finish. And give it a go. In fact, one of our contributors to the show has said, you should watch it chronologically. And I thought, oh, okay, that's cool. That might mean I can watch some later episodes earlier and, you know, it might break up some of the stuff I didn't particularly like. But yeah. I'm saying all of this to get around to the fact that I watched the first episode of Rebels, which is a double episode, so it goes for an hour. And instantly I felt like I'd slipped on an old pair of slippers or, you know, pulled a blanket over me, and it felt just incredibly right. It felt like the original trilogy era. It's set 5 years before A New Hope.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And so there are stormtroopers running around. There's just the look and feel of it is a little different to Clone Wars as well. And I just felt incredibly comfortable with it. You know, there are some moments where I've gone, I'm not quite sure about that. But that's, you do that with any show.
Sure.
Overall, I think Rebels, just out of the gate, has grabbed me in a way that, that Clone Wars never did.
Oh, well, now I have to go watch it.
Yeah, it's,
my difficulty is that, I don't watch TV anymore, you know, which is true as well as a huge, humongous lie.
Right.
And the reason I say that is because, like, I watch TV constantly while I'm working, which is most of the time. So there's not enough programming out there to, you know, satisfy my need, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I end up watching, well, A, there's some things that I just refuse to watch, but I find my standard slipping every once in a while out of desperation, you know, but mainly what I'll do is I'll rewatch things. But in terms of new TV, if it's not available on Hulu or, you know, some other outlet like that, I'm probably not seeing it, you know.
Yeah.
Which means Rebels, I need to find it somewhere. You know, I'm not a torrenter. I just, you know, I will admit to having torrented the first season of Battlestar Galactica because I could not freaking wait for it to come out. And the idea that it was getting broadcast in the UK, you know, 6 months before it started here in the United States was just, I was like, dude, someone in the UK is putting it up. I'm getting it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was how many years ago now, you know, like now if it's not streaming on sort of a legit source, you know what I mean, then I'm probably not seeing it until it's packaged up on Netflix or something like that, you know.
Yeah, you need to time shift. Well, I think people who have the Disney XD channel, I think they can maybe watch it, time shift it, and watch it on a tablet or something like that.
No, you know what's what's really interesting is God, this is, I don't know if I want to be admitting this publicly.
That's just you and me.
Yeah, sure. No one.
No one's listening. No.
No, I have an amazing friend of mine, and she and I have the best time. Like, IMing while we watch Rain. We're both huge fans of Rain.
Right. Yeah.
Not for any good reason. just we enjoy it. We're both history buffs, and even though it's the history on it is just scandalously horrible, we still enjoy the show.
Yeah.
And so this last Thursday we were going to IM during it, which normally we do when it's on Hulu, you know, when we're both watching it on Hulu. And, she mentioned doing it while it was like actually live broadcasting. So I'm like, I'm just doing everything I can to figure out how to get a live stream, you know, of it. And my cable provider, you know, I got hooked up this program through, you know, through my cable provider to where I can watch all the basic cable channels on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Not the networks. So Rain, not there. But you know what is there?
What is?
Disney XD.
Awesome.
So now if I find out when it's playing, I can go ahead and watch my Rebels.
Yeah, well, I think it plays Monday nights on XD.
All right, well, there we go.
And
maybe I've got a new show to watch.
Yeah, thus far, you've missed the 1 hour special that kicked it off, and another episode. So
I'm certain Disney XD's probably got it, you know, on their website, so you can go watch it, you know, after the fact.
Possibly. I mean, I can't see that because, you know, we get region blocked living down here in Australia, but I'm quite sure they would have. So yeah, you'd be able to watch it.
Isn't region blocking just the worst?
Oh, it's stupid.
Oh my God. Like, you know, so for instance, we're talking about Doctor Who. And, you know, like, so then, and I might be jumping ahead here, but apologies. But, you know, so like the new season of Doctor Who, I can't watch, because I could watch it if I weren't region blocked by the BBC.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, like, obviously, you know, it airs on BBC America here, but. You know, they don't have a, at least if they do, I haven't found it yet, you know, a streaming vehicle for BBC America, you know, so maybe I need to look into that. Actually, I do need to look into that.
Maybe if someone's out there listening and knows the answer, being Doctor Who fans in America, please, please write in.
There you go.
All right.
Like I say, I don't watch my TV on TV.
No, I get you.
So it becomes a real bummer, and it's actually it's one of those things. It's like they've got to deal with Hulu. So I was able to finally finish the 12th Doctor's run on Hulu, and I'm like, yeah, okay, this works. You know, let's have some new, you know, let's have some Peter Capaldi, dude. You know, and no joy. So
no.
All right, where were we? We were still talking about Star Wars.
We've got three more questions on Star Wars, then we can rip into Doctor Who.
All right, let's do it.
So, Star Wars, who is your favorite character in the saga?
You know, when I was a kid, my cousins and brother and I used to play Star Wars, and I was always Luke, obviously. You know, because you want to be the hero, but honestly, in my old age, it's got to be Han. It's got to be Han, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean... Who wouldn't want to be? I mean, like, seriously, it's got to be every Star Wars fan's dream to have some girl go, "I love you," and just go, "I know." To be that cool, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I liked him even when I was a kid, so I've liked him all along.
Yeah, yeah. I was big into the, you know, the hero.
Yeah,
but if I'm honest, you know, even back then, I knew Han was the cool one.
Exactly.
Not that Luke's not cool, you know what I mean? It's just, let's be honest, you know, Han's cool.
Exactly. I mean, when I was a kid, I'd watch that final The Throne Room scene in A New Hope, and I'd be like, oh, look, Luke's trying to be like Han now, like he's got the jacket and the gun in the holster, and he's even dressed like Han at the end of that film, you know.
And when Luke and Jedi, you know, especially once he gets into, you know, in Jabba's palace there, you know, he's pretty damn cool, dude.
Oh, yeah. You know, when he stands on that gangplank and says, you know, free us or die, and everyone just laughs at him, it's like the size of this guy's balls, you know?
Well, honestly, I mean, like, the best thing that ever happened to Luke was he started wearing black.
Yeah. Agree.
Screw this beige, white, tan ensemble you got going on here. Let's get you into some black.
Exactly. It's very slimming. Do you have a favorite?
Tinge of darkness anyway. I mean, like, you know, you needed that little dark edge to him, you know.
Exactly. Well, he wanted to take it further. I think he wanted to come back. This is Mark Hamill I'm talking about. He wanted to come back in Jedi with, like, part of his head shaved and a top knot, like he'd been off and become a samurai or something. And George Lucas had to say, maybe not quite that far, you know.
And then all of a sudden, you know, George comes back with, you know, Liam Neeson with exactly that.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite scene in the saga?
You know, almost Empire is far and away my favorite of the first three. And I'd have to say there are two from that movie that I love. There's the first, you know, the one where they find out that Lando's betrayed him. That's just, to me, I don't know, that's just a great scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, you know, the final, you know, Luke, I am your father.
Yeah.
No! He's like there and he's got his hand cut off and everything like that. That was just, I don't know. That was just a great scene. So well, yeah, this is probably my favorites right there.
We're talking of change scenes and you've just reminded me of one change I did hate. And that was in the original when Vader says, join me, Luke just looks at him and just drops off that gangplank and just falls down silently, you know, to what he presumes will be his death. You know, he has no way of knowing he's going to be saved. He thinks he's going to die, and he does it silently. And then in the remake, or in the special edition, we have, whoa, as he falls down. It's like, no, you've ruined the whole scene. That's not what it was about.
Yes, yes, you're absolutely right. Oh my god, I didn't even remember that. Wow.
You'd purged it from your memory because it was so horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Alrighty.
There are so many things. There are so many things that George Lucas, as a young filmmaker, forgot once he became a mature filmmaker, you know? And it's one of those things. It's interesting to me, you know what I mean? As a creator, you know, you need to be mindful of, you know what I mean? Like, because that you're exactly right. That scene has a very distinct meaning when he just drops silently to his death, you know, presumed death, you know? And it speaks to a nobility, you know, and a strength and a resolve, you know what I mean, that the character has.
Yeah.
It's completely undercut by the scream, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a massive FU to Vader. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not joining you. Goodbye. You know, and just silently dropping off.
And it's hugely powerful.
Yeah, massively.
And it's the exact same problem that most people have, you know, I'd say the vast majority of Star Wars fans have with the you know, Han shot first thing, you know? It's like, Han shot first because he's a badass, man.
Yeah. He's not going to let this guy have a shot at him.
No. And he's a bit of a scoundrel, you know what I mean? Like, he's supposed to be a bit of a scoundrel.
Yeah.
That's the deal, you know what I mean? Like, yes, he's like, you know, he's got an inherent goodness to him, but that doesn't make him not a bit of a scoundrel, you know?
The way he gets up and flicks the coin to the bartender and says, sorry about the mess. He's got no intention of hanging around to help the police with their investigations. He's out of there. He's shot a dude. Absolutely. He's done.
He knew exactly what he needed to do to survive, and he's doing it. And he's in no rush.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, final Star Wars question.
Right.
Rate your level of excitement if Marvel was to come calling. I mean, it's got four series in 2015. There's Star Wars, there's Darth Vader, there's Princess Leia, and they've got one based on Kanan, the Jedi character from Rebels. If they came calling in the future and said, you know, do a one-shot for us or a few issues, I mean, would you be excited to actually draw Star Wars professionally?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how could you not be? You know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing with, you know, look, I only did one issue, you know, like a one shot of Doctor Who, but that doesn't, and it's a, you know, comic and, you know, whatever you want to, whatever importance you put on the comics, you know what I mean? As a Who fan, but the fact that I was able to do something that is, you know, a part of Doctor Who, that's huge to me. You know what I mean? Like my name is on there, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that's incredible. You know what I mean? So yeah, if I got a chance to do some Star Wars, I'm like, God, you know, yeah. And you know, what's really interesting.
Yes.
As I've condemned J.J. Abrams for not being a Star Trek fan, but doing Star Trek.
Yes.
I would actually, I'm going to parrot J.J.'s answer when he originally started doing Star Trek and was asked if he'd do Star Wars, if he was asked to. Which is to say, I don't know that I'd actually want to do Star Trek comic books because I'm such a huge fan of Star Trek.
Right, yeah.
However, doing Star Wars comics, because I'm less of a fan of Star Wars than I am of Star Trek, I would absolutely jump at the chance. I would love to. Yeah. Now, having said that, I am a fan of Star Wars, so
yeah, my, but you
I'm
have
not
a...
parroting the answer.
I was going to say, but you have that little bit more detachment, maybe.
Yeah. I'm not as slavish to it, which again does parrot JJ's answer, low those many years ago. But you know, yeah, I'd love to. I mean, that would be a fantastic thing to do. I mean, that would just be so much fun. Now I say that with like the caveat being that doing likenesses in a comic book is a tremendous undertaking. You know, it's you go in and okay, so take 22 pages of comic book, which is already just a huge amount of work, and then realize that you've got in Doctor Who, you've only got in the issue I did anyway, I only had one character that I had to draw, you know, looking like the actor that played him, you know, in sometimes several times in the same panel. Now you've got a, you know, then you go to a Star Wars where you've got potentially, you know, what, 5, 6, 7 characters that you have to draw looking like they look in the movies, you know?
Yeah.
That could turn an amazing thing into just a huge freaking chore. Quicker than you might think. But I wouldn't balk at the challenge. You know what I mean? It would definitely be something I'd invite and I'd want to do and I'd enjoy doing. And you know, it's one of those things you, the theory being anyway that you get, you know, I'm not, I haven't made my living drawing likenesses. There are guys out there that do, you know what I mean? There are a lot of these guys out there that, their bread and butter is, you know, drawing Star Wars characters, for instance. And they can do them from memory, you know, with no reference. And that's just crazy to me. You know what I mean? But I think, you know, you get to the point, I think you would get to the point at some point where it would become second nature, you know what I mean? And it wouldn't be quite so much of a chore, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
So yeah, I'd be excited about it with that one caveat, you know what I mean? That drawing likenesses is not the most pleasant thing to do all the time, you know?
Well, you know, keeping all of that in mind, all of what you've just said, the four titles are Star Wars, where I guess you'd have Han, Luke, Leia, and the traditional team. Darth Vader, where I guess you'd have Darth Vader running around with a lot of Imperials and Stormtroopers. Mm-hmm. Princess Leia, where I guess she's getting around maybe doing diplomatic stuff or stuff for the Rebel Alliance on her own. Mm-hmm. And Kanan, with this character you haven't seen because you haven't seen Rebels yet. Right. Which of those would be the most appealing to you?
Oh, wow, that's an interesting question.
Like, you talk about doing likenesses, the Star Wars book would have a lot of likenesses, but then the Darth Vader book, he has that very specific look that I imagine would be quite hard to draw.
Oh, it is, but at the same time, it's like, you know, how hard is it to get a Darth Vader mask?
Right, you know, okay.
You know, and like, I mean, like, hell, you could have a, you know, like a little bust on your desk, you know what I mean? And then if you got to draw him in a certain angle, you know what I mean? You just hold the head up and see how it looks, you know what I mean? Or take a photo, you know. That actually, of all of them, is probably the easiest, you know what I mean? Like, because you've got the, you know, the overall costume, as complicated as it is, it's ultimately a lot of black and it's not really that big a deal. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh, okay.
The mask becomes the hardest part, you know, and if you've got a physical prop there in your house, you know what I mean? That you can just kind of go to anytime you need it. You know what I mean? Mm. Then that's nice. I mean, you're not going to have a Mark Hamill just sitting in your, you know, you're not going to have Mark Hamill just sitting in your room, like going, "Hey man, scream for me."
Well, you know, he lives fairly close to you over there in the States. Maybe he could come around.
Sure, I'll just call his publicist and arrange to have him, like, you know, at my beck and call. No, but I mean, everything's doable. You know what I mean? Like us, the two easiest would be the Kanan, because, you know, if he's character that's based on, you know, the cartoon Rebels, he's not based on an actor's likeness, you know what I mean?
True, yeah.
so you can kind of have a little more free reign there. And then, like I said, Darth Vader, because like they're nice, easy workarounds for getting it, you know, spot on. But I gotta say, man, I mean, like if you're gonna do a Star Wars book, you want to do Star Wars,
the flagship one.
Yeah, you know, I mean, ultimately that's the one you want to do, you know. So I'd have to say, pitfalls and headaches included, that's the one I'd want to do. Yeah.
Well, I would love to see you do it if you got the chance.
Oh yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. I mean, you know, drawing the ships and just all those iconic things, that would be amazing.
Oh, imagine the detail you could get into on the Millennium Falcon, you know, just knowing how you drew Paris. Imagine getting in on the Falcon, all those little pipes and, you know, lumps and bumps all over the Falcon.
Absolutely. And talk about a book that would take 3 months to draw.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'm sure, you know, again, it's one of those things where it, like at the beginning it'd probably be slow going, but you know, as you got into it, you get a few pages into it and it'd be another thing. I mean, well, we're going to get there, but yeah, this is all applicable to Who.
All right then. Well, let's move on to the Doctor Who questions, because that was the end of the Star Wars questions. And I am conscious you've given me so much of your time. I'm so appreciative of it.
Oh, that's no problem, man. I'm having a great time.
Cool. So there you go. I'm back in the studio now with Eric and I about to embark on that conversation on Doctor Who. I've pressed stop on the tape, as it were, and I'll bring you that conversation this Thursday night. And of course, as I said in the intro, next Wednesday, join us for a conversation about comics, learning to draw, and all sorts of good stuff. I mean, that's a conversation actually that even if you have friends and family who aren't into Star Wars and Doctor Who, but they're into the comics industry or they're into drawing or art, they might be very, very interested to listen into that particular podcast. It's a really, really great conversation. All right then, this Thursday night, Doctor Who, I'll talk to you then, if not beforehand, on Twitter or Facebook or email or however we might chat. And until then, I'm Rob Irwin. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Well, that wraps it up for another episode of Who Wars. If you'd like to be in touch with the show, simply email hello@whowars.net. Find us on Twitter @WhoWars, or if Facebook's more your thing, at facebook.com/WhoWars. Oh, and don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. See you next time.